Hey, welcome back to Silk Flowers and Paper Mache Hearts. Today we're going to be talking to Buse Bickley, who has propped many, many Broadway shows.
Yeah, I got a quick little list here. Let's see, a little show called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Parts 1 and 2, SpongeBob SquarePants, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Dear Evan Hansen, The Last Ship, The Color Purple, Rock of Ages, The Nance, The Elephant Man, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and I think you were also co-production prop supervisor on Frozen. Is that list all correct?
That is correct.
Awesome.
That is the truth.
So your host today is Ashley Flowers.
And Eric Hart.
And here's Buse Bickley.
I just got hearts and flowers.
I'm serious. It is a little con.
Are we adorable?
Pretty funny.
We couldn't figure out
thinking,
a name.
I was thinking, this is a really long name.
Right.
I just got it.
It makes sense. It does make sense. So Buse, what did you do to all the other Broadway prop masters?
There are a lot of us around. I promise I'm not the only one. I've had a really crazy like last 3 years, and I think I might just be on Facebook talking about my shows more than other people are. So it might seem like I'm doing them all, but that is not the case. But it's been a really busy 3 years. It's been a busy 10 years, but the last 3 years, I feel like I got a few jobs that you just can't say no to all at once.
Right.
So it's kind of made that happen.
Yeah. And so what do you think aspects of yourself are reasons you get hired? Like, what do you bring that other props masters don't?
I'm very handsome.
Guys, I am sitting next to him. I can't deny it.
I think I have this is a really hard job, and it takes a very specific combination of skills and a really high, BS tolerance. You need to be able to process a lot of information from a lot of different departments, to be totally right-brained and totally left-brained at the same time. In equal measure, and you need to be someone that people want to be around for 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is important.
I think that on Broadway, you get hired if the set designer wants you to be the prop.
So it's not the production manager.
It's the production manager, but the production manager will usually err on who the set designer wants.
Great.
And I think for the most part, I've made set designers happy.
That's amazing.
And that's why I get hired.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And who are some of the set designers who keep coming back to you?
I haven't worked with John Lee in a couple of years now, but we did like 40 shows together for a long time. When I get attached to these larger projects, I work on fewer projects just for longer amounts of time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, when I was doing like the Encore series and, not-for-profit plays that have a six-week run, I would do like a billion of them in a year. And now I do like two huge shows in a year, and it's those two shows are more work than all of the other ones combined. But I work with John Lee Beatty a lot. I worked with Beowulf Bort a lot, David Zinn, Scott Pask. I'm doing my first show with Derek McLean right now.
I've worked with him a couple times.
What else do I work with? Christine Jones, Christopher Oram. I've done a couple of shows with. For a long time, I was like completely employed by Beowulf and John Lee. And now for the last 2 years, I don't think I've done a show with them in like 3 years. But not because we don't love each other. But that's just kind of how scheduling is.
Yeah.
So how do you keep organized with all these multiple shows at a time? What are some of your tricks?
I recently got this office that we're recording in. And having a separate workspace that's just like an office space independent of my shop space has been really helpful. Being able to have a spot that's just like I can keep everything together. I'm in Midtown. I can be at a theater. I can be at rehearsal. Then I can come back to kind of my home base and get a bunch of stuff done. I've had this space since October, and I can't imagine surviving without it. Since I've had it, I feel like I can't live without it. I try to label receipts very well. Very boring but specific things. I have lots of files. I don't always stay as organized as I should when I'm in the middle of 10 out of 12s on a huge show and I'm prepping rehearsal load in for the next show that happens right afterwards. Things get crazy and you just kind of keep on top of it.
Yeah.
sure if I have any, like, I wake up really early and I go to sleep late. I'm not sure if that's...
I feel like that's common for us.
That's common for a lot
of people. No sleeping.
But I don't sleep a lot. I try to have, when I have assistants, I try to make sure that they go in, know how I like to code receipts. Because if they start coding receipts in a different way, I'm just like, what is this?
Right.
Like, and I have like very, when I am dealing with receipts, the way that I organize them is like, I don't need like the special show logo because that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I just need the information.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like very kind of plain and simple. And if I if I have an assistant and I don't care what you do, but I just need it to be done this way.
Yeah.
And staying organized, if I have assistants, finding the good ones and having them stay on for more than one project, that helps you get organized because they know how you like things.
Yeah.
And things can just go easier. I sort all of my, this is very specific things. These are like super specific things, but per show, like on the subjects of emails, I always put the show title first and then what the question is.
Yeah.
Because if I'm doing 8 shows at once and Caitlin number 3 emails me saying like, what are these chairs? Caitlin, you could be anybody. These chairs could be from 12 different shows. Like, it needs to be, like, if I'm doing Moulin Rouge right now, if I'm sending any emails, I put the subject as Moulin Rouge props and then like what it's about. And then when I go back through like the back catalog of emails, I can just like see what is from what.
And I feel like
and
that's
I keep
helpful.
Everything on one email address.
Oh,
like,
really?
My personal and my work and my things. Which I might not do in the future, but currently that's what I'm doing. And I'm not saying that what I'm doing is the best, it's just what I'm doing
right
now.
Yeah, it's your way, it's your way.
Hopefully I'll get better at this.
And for, you said you had assistants, do you have, how many do you usually have? Do you
I don't
have
keep
more
any
than...
full-time staff.
Okay.
I hire assistants on a show-by-show basis as I need them. It's dependent on what my schedule is with other projects. For the most part, I can do a pinch if that's true. I was about to say I can do a play by myself, but I'm not sure I can do that anymore. But I, it's a show by show. Sometimes I hire them myself. And sometimes, often, it'll be part of the show's budget that there's a prop assistant. And sometimes there's not, depending on what the size of the show is. Contract negotiations, but I like to keep my team small because I feel like when you don't, I don't want to be a person manager. Right now, with the amount of projects I have, I have to be a person manager. But in my perfect world, I'm a little bit less of a person manager than I am right now. And I think keeping that small, keeping your overhead, you know, keeping overhead low. I have a shop space. I have an office space. Storage is hard in New York. I have storage spaces that, and these are all things that I have to pay for. And I don't want to have to employ a ton of people to make my life work.
Yeah.
And I also, in my dream world, that doesn't really exist. I want to be able to like take a month off at some point and like go off and travel somewhere and not worry about. Like employing people that are like my full-time employees.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bring you on for this project and we're going to be hot and heavy for 12 weeks or something.
Yeah.
But then when it's done, I just kind of want to walk away from that.
Are there assistants that you have had that you're never going to hire again and why? What did they do that?
I hate complaining. I really hate complaining. I have a really short tolerance for complaining. I have said many times, no, the people I hire, the only non-negotiables are no criers, no respects. Everything else I can handle.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't complain, and you can't be a douchebag. Like, you need to be someone that I want to be around.
Yeah.
And this is a hard job. And when, as far as, like, complaining, I feel like a lot of, with, like, younger people, I'm not that old, but, like... the intern age folks that are coming into New York now, they're just like, oh, I was like, oh my gosh, do I have, like, is that really? I'm like, yeah, really.
And you get the eye rolling at some of the notes and things.
But
and it's like,
that happens like once and then it's just like, I don't need this anymore. So like the people who are haven't had, on a big show, I have not had, you know, horrible assistants because I wouldn't have they would last a day, and then I would say, peace, God bless, have a good time. I am not great at taking care of myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. I can take care of my work and my show, but I enjoy an assistant that says, Buse, did you eat lunch? Buse, do you need a cup of coffee? Like, I really enjoy that stuff. Mm-hmm. I need a little bit of, like, are you alive? Like check it. And I think all of my assistants would say that that is the truth. What else do I like in an assistant? Staying on time is important. Mm-hmm. Communication skills. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I, you know, this job is kind of 24/7. Mm-hmm. Because the shows happen at night. I have 5 shows on Broadway right now. Mm-hmm. The show reports come out after the show. They could say the show was great. They could say everything is broken. And it needs to be fixed tomorrow. Mm. Like, there's really... So I might text someone in the middle of the night. Yeah. Like, this is what happens.
So the props master that's actually in-house of the theater, do they not...
The prop head.
Yeah, the prop head. Do they not help with fixing things?
Oh, they totally do. Okay. Like, if there's anything that has to happen that's outside of the building, that's I have to deal with it.
Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
And I, like, I set the prop heads in the theater up to be able to fix things.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. But you know, you need 3 of everything in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something breaks. But I mean, it's 5 reports 8 times a week. Just uh-huh. and everything could be real, but like there's a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, oh god. And I set up shows to succeed. Like I'm not waiting for things to break every day, because mm-hmm. if they did, then I didn't do a great job. And some things break more than they should, and we work on making those better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I got into that from saying something about assistance.
Right.
But quick response of communication. Okay. If I do, uh-huh. I try not to text people in the middle of the night, which is a very annoying habit for an employer. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's great. But responding quickly to emails and responding to phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that I got the Rock of Ages job because a prop master friend of mine did not respond to Beowulf when he was looking for someone to do that show.
Yeah.
And I responded.
Yeah.
And just respond to emails. Do it quicker than not. And I know how hard it is. I get 700 emails a day.
Yeah.
But staying on top of those communications is important. And it's hard to, with technology, I feel like part of my job, or like a whole job of mine, mm-hmm. is just responding to emails.
Yep.
In a big musical, all the things, interdepartmental projects, like it's a hat that explodes, and then there's lights inside of it. And then there's the confetti and the fire. And it's like these endless email chains, mm-hmm. and just like taking in all of that information, organizing that is a job.
Yeah.
And then actually doing it is another job. And you have to be on top of both of those things at the same time. It can be frustrating.
I bet.
Right, right. So the prop head, the person running the show and in charge of the props, they're a union, right? They're IATSE 1.
Yes.
And are you in the union?
I am in ACT.
How does that all break down and work?
My title is I'm a production props supervisor.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That is what I'm called on Broadway.
Okay.
I prep the show. I'm on pre-production before rehearsal. I am creating all the props for the show. I'm setting up the rehearsal scenery. Everything you see on stage is something that I have facilitated.
Mm-hmm.
There's in every Broadway house, there is a house head who stays with that mm-hmm. theater for whatever is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are pink contract people who come in just for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the people who run the shows every night.
Mm-hmm.
In some contracts, that person is in rehearsals also.
Oh.
Before we get into the theater.
Yeah.
And helping facilitate rehearsals in like a big musical rehearsal. There's a lot of moving parts, and having that pink contract person there is really useful. And having them know the show before it gets into the building. Because mm-hmm. I've had many a show where we have all these stagehands. They don't see a run. They've never seen it. That's very common for no one to see a run before.
That's so weird.
I'm forever bringing like props to Chance and to see the rest of the show. They're like, I've never done this before. And I was like, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have Dear Evan Hansen tour going out soon, and who I think is going to be the head props on the show. We went and saw the show together. Mm-hmm. It was such a luxury to like have the person who's going to be with the show, and we see a production of the show, and say like, this is what it is. And we can talk about problems and how we would do something differently. And having, it's such a benefit when you have like the time and the knowledge of things that are happening.
So on the union, for you specifically, what would you say the biggest pro is and the biggest con is? Is there?
It's hard to say pros and cons because it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's, I think unions has only helped me in my career. Mm-hmm. I worked as a non-union prop master for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a good question is, are the other production property supervisors on Broadway, is there a mix of union and non-union? Or
there is a, I worked on Broadway as a non-union person for a few years, but I was technically not allowed to touch any props when I was on stage. Uh-huh. There was lots of laser pointer of like where things are dressed, and that was fine. Now, when I'm on contract, you mm-hmm. can touch whatever you need to, and it's just kind of a different setup. It's a really complicated. Uh-huh. If you want to know how it works, you need to read a book that's about 2 inches thick.
Right.
And I'm not that book. I say, whenever I go into a house, I see how things work in that house on uh-huh. that day. And that's uh-huh. where the rules are. Mm-hmm. And, right. and if you think that's not right, then tough. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's how I have found success. Is that I think when you uh-huh. walk in what the rules are, that's what the rules
right.
are. And then, uh-huh. and then you follow them. You don't want to, you know, these people are working really hard and you don't want to step on anybody's toes. And, you know, I want everybody to be happy. We're all going to mm-hmm. get this work done. It's going to be great.
We're all in it together.
Yeah. Exactly. Did that answer any questions?
Oh, totally.
So I'm wondering about like getting props built and that sort of thing. Do you have some go-to prop builders in the city? Some of your favorites? Do you work with shops?
I share a shop space with Pete Serafin, who's another prop master who works in the city a lot.
Yeah.
And when I first got to the city, I assisted Pete a couple times, and we get along really well. And we've had 3 shop spaces together. Mm-hmm. And Pete keeps full-time people.
Oh, okay.
And he builds things in our space.
Oh, wow.
And I do not keep full-time people. Mm-hmm. So I use our shop mostly as an area for staging for things. If I am dressing the inside of Satine's Elephant or Toulouse-Lautrec's Art Studio and I just have all this stuff, I'm just going to put it all in my shop. I can work on things myself. If I have an assistant, it's like a place for us to... It's kind of more crafting, small carpentry, mm-hmm. some rehearsal mock-up things. But most larger builds, I am... I'm sending to other places to be made. Mm-hmm. I have, 5 or 6 shops that I like working with. I like Grady at Prop and Paint. I send stuff to Emiliano at
BB Props. And
several people think that I'm BB Props because I'm used to Philly. But that is not the case.
That's hilarious.
I've definitely had invoices when I send things and it comes back. Brinbury, and I'm like, Emiliano's not going to be happy when he gets
funny.
Prop and Paint up in Newburgh. I really like that shop. That's a small shop. Pete's company is called Behind the Mule Studio. Mm. He built stuff for me. I love Daedalus in Greenpoint. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. James and the guys there. But it's kind of on a case-by-case basis of what... Yeah. And I use Spoon Group to build stuff for me in New Jersey. And I kind of see different shops have their own strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. and I try to play to their strengths.
Makes sense.
It's really hard getting things made that a lot of prop units have very specific set electrics and upholstery and mold making and... it needs to be on a tracking platform. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's like one shop could do all of those things. But if we split this up between several shops, we can make it like really great. And figuring out how to kind of split those kind of projects up is, I think, useful. It makes it harder, but it makes it better.
And are most of these shops in Queens, Brooklyn, and Jersey? Are any in Manhattan?
Where would you be in Manhattan?
Well, I don't think you would, but I never know what there is.
There's hardly anything in Manhattan. I mean, there's not really an art store in Manhattan. There's not... I mean, I'm not that old, second time I've said that. But I feel like I'm like old school New York now, because I'm like, well, remember Pearl Paint? Remember Lee's Art Supply? Remember Dyke's Lumber on 43rd Street?
Is Lee's not a thing anymore?
It's nothing at all.
Oh, goodness, I loved that
There's not one, there's not, the only art stores are Blitz now.
Oh, not really.
And there's like two Michaels. And those are like, fine for what they are. Sometimes you need like some sparkly foam, but some of like real art supplies.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, everything is online now.
That's,
I know. The shopping in Manhattan's the same as the shopping here now. It's like, oh, go to Home Depot.
It's like, oh my gosh, I wonder if, like, what, I wonder if they have at Marshall's. And that's like,
oh.
When Pearl River left, that was rough. I think there might be a little Pearl River back now.
When did they leave?
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, because I remember.
But Pearl River closing, there's something really big that's about to close that I got the inside scoop on, but I'm not going to say in this podcast, but we'll talk about it later.
Tell me later.
But it's a, it's major.
Oh goodness, I'm scared.
Yes. I'm going to write it down.
Yes.
And I want you to have a response and know that this is going from,
oh God,
I'm worried.
We're writing stuff now.
No.
I know.
Oh,
can you hold
gosh,
it up
guys.
To the camera?
The audience is so upset.
Oh.
By the time it comes out, perhaps perhaps the right.
Well, there went that life. Oh, that's awful. Did you see that, Eric?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
can you hold it up?
Yeah, the camera's on.
Oh.
Apparently he doesn't care.
Right.
Oh, that was the go-to on Off-Broadway. Oh, woof.
Ooh. So what's the farthest you've ever traveled outside of the city for shopping?
I had some stuff mailed to me from India for a current show. I have I love finding makers on Etsy in like Eastern Europe. People in Eastern Europe really know how to make things.
Yeah,
which is like not like handicrafts and basket weaving. I have custom baskets made in like Latvia. Beautiful.
What kind of time turnaround do you need for that kind of thing?
I like to really front load projects. So on these, on like huge musicals, when I have the time, I like to take it to do things right, cheap and well. Not always cheap, but hopefully always well. I had, was it Latvia and, is that a country? One of those countries. But I had beautiful blankets made in Eastern Europe, and they weren't that expensive. And I love being able to when I'm buying something and like the person I'm emailing with is the person who's making it, and you know that it's what you want it to be, and if you're not like effing over somebody who's like, you know, like a child on a loom or something, like I'm talking to the person who's making this, they're telling me how much they want for it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, you know, helping them out.
Yeah. What is the most expensive prop that you've bought before?
Props become like set, small set pieces, and sometimes large set pieces on Broadway. Often things that are really difficult or really detailed become props that you think were scenery. But I mean, $250,000. but different, like big flying things that have to light up and move and are automated, like that stuff costs a lot of money.
Now, are you part of the conversation of breaking down a design to determine what set and props, or is that decided before they bring you on?
I think it's decided once they get the budgets back, or once they get prices back from Scenery Shop. Stuff that Scenery Shops don't want to make, they charge. They, on their quotes, it'll be like three times more than what you think it would be, because they don't want to do it. and then often those things become props.
Yeah.
And I think every scene shop would agree with me when I said that. because big scenery shops are really good at, you know, turntables and flats and platforms and figuring out kabuki drops and foy rigs. And it's, I think prop people are better when you, when we're trying to get like the detail and the dressings of things just right. A lot of people like giant furniture things are always being sent to scenery shops and they often get turned around and come back to prop things because they always end up looking like scenery, not furniture.
Have you ever had a prop or an effect come up that when you heard about it, you had no idea how you were going to do it?
Every day.
Okay.
Five times yesterday. But you just have to kind of figure it out. And I think you have to be honest when you say, I don't know how to figure this out. Like, I like really smart people. And I have a list of people who I think are real smart.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to figure something out. I'll be like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And I try to keep good relationships with the people who are good at figuring stuff out. Pete and I have a great relationship where we will riff off of each other to kind of figure something out, even if it's like not our own shows.
Yeah.
I'm never afraid. I am not a proud man. Like, if you have a better idea than I do, then your ideas, then let's do it. I'm into it. You know, whatever is best for the show, best for storytelling is what, is what I want to do.
It always bothers me when somebody says, oh, I know how to do that, but they have no idea, because that disappoints people when they're like,
This is something I will say about. I said before we started that I wasn't going to talk about Harry Potter things specifically, because I'm not supposed to. And I'm still not going to tell you anything that you don't. But when people have see Harry Potter and they talk about how the effects work, and they're like, well, I know this was that and that was this. And I was like, oh, you're cute.
You're so smart.
You're a genius. I can't speak specifically about this, but there's one thing that my friend said, and then they did this. And I was like, that's not at all what is happening. Things that are really complicated, people think are really easy, and things that are really easy happen to have been really complicated.
Yeah.
But that's often the case.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. What's the hardest interdepartmental prop you've ever had to work on? Or do you ever have to work with other departments for specific
props? Props is so often the thing that's in between everything else. Mm-hmm. And props are often the things that no one else wants to deal with. So it's like if there is... and when things are special effects or not special effects, or if people want special effects and there's not a special effects designer, I feel like every day is me figuring out negotiating interdepartmental issues. Mm-hmm. And on Broadway, things are so like specific, like the backstage, the wardrobe crew is setting the wardrobes and they're not allowed to touch the props. And the props crew is setting this and they're not allowed to touch the costumes. Mm. And then sometimes things are props and costumes.
Yeah.
And you just have to decide when this is what and when that is something else. And the person who sets it, and when it's broken, the person who fixes it. And things light up. On Broadway, if it's DMX controlled, if it's DMX controlled, when it comes into the theater, it's totally the lighting department and not a problem. I mean, it can be a big teddy bear that I made. And then if it lights up with DMX, then it's a light.
Yeah.
And then the props crew doesn't deal with it.
Oh, interesting. Well, guys, I think we've kind of ended this episode. Next week, we'll continue speaking with Bjost.
Lots of editing, guys. Really artful editing when you sound so smart.
You're going to be amazed how smoothly you talk when you hear it.
It's going to set the world on fire.
So thank you for listening to Silk Flowers and Paper Mache Hearts. Been your host, Ashley Flowers.
And Eric Hart.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks.